Welcome, my dear ones, to our online Metta session. Here, it's a beautiful sunny day, as it has been for the last 12 days since we started the retreat, because this is actually the normal weather. It's the dry season here in Burma, and no rain, and usually blue sky and sunny. And it's also gotten a bit warmer up here near Pyonglin. So during the daytime, you know, pleasurably warm and still a bit cool at nighttime. So as usual at the beginning, there is time to share something about your metta practice. So anybody who feels inclined to share something big or small, important or unimportant, please feel free to speak up.
So hello, good morning. So we have cold and snowy weather, but it seems that the practice is affecting also my dreaming, so my dreams. So this night I was dreaming about a situation where somebody wants to harm another person, and then I got the feeling, okay, I have to help some. How? Because I was aware of that. I got before the feeling that something will happen, and then I saw the situation, and the first thing was the reaction, okay, I will defend the victim. And then later on, I thought, oh, but you have to think also about the negative, the complicated person. So this was a strange situation, and I think, oh, metta has now become a part of my dreams, which I think is wonderful. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Rudolf, for the sharing.
Yesterday, I had an appointment in Amsterdam. It's almost 30 kilometers from here, towards the north. And so I drove on the highway, and it was very busy. So I had a lot of practice in the northern direction. May you be all happy, well, may everybody be well, happy and peaceful. And it was as far as I could see, there were cars, and in the city also, it was in the center. So, it was almost overwhelming in radiating metta. So that was nice to try, but because here we live in a surrounding where there are much fewer people, almost no people, especially in nights, and there it was overwhelming. So good practice in the world to wishing metta to everyone. Okay, that was my little share.
Thank you, Sharon, for the sharing.
I was sad yesterday, and I walked up outside and I did at first metta for myself, and I thought I have to do metta for all beings. I didn't know what to do, so I decided metta to do for all the people in the universe who were sad, and that felt so joyful anyway, but I felt immediately not so alone with my sadness, and afterwards I must bike everywhere in the city, so I biked in that direction. May all people of the universe in that direction be well, happy, peaceful. And I moved in every direction, and that's what I want to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique.
I just want to say that for me, every morning, to open the video, the computer, and to see all of you there, you are come from all over the world for the same reason. This is for me is really the most beautiful thing, and really touch me. And I imagine your life and your things, and I really share with you. I wish you really to be in peace and free from the pain and happy. And I really feel connected to all of you, and I would like to come and visit all of you. And really, it's beautiful to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Masha, for the sharing.
So I just would like to share a few words. I could notice, I have been noticing how when I am in between the practice, the chanting is playing by itself on my mind. I just wonder if you guys are having that same experience. And it's interesting how it comes. Sadhavika metta karuna mudita upeka metta karuna. And some other times is this is what should be done. It just feels like I'm really listening to you rather than chanting it. So I feel so, the mind is so conditioned by now, by the end of the second week, and it's so lovely. And sabe sata, sabe pana, sabe buddha, sabe pugala, like that. It's so, just like I have a sound system inside here going by itself. So I just would like to share, it's very joyful for me to see it happening in between the practice. So thank you for each of you for being here doing it together.
And thank you, Beth, for sharing this. And so with this, I hand over the microphone to Ayavira Gnani, who will continue.
Thank you, dear sister. And thank you, everybody, for these beautiful sharings. It's magic, isn't it? How the metta works its way into our psyche. And we think, oh, this practice, yeah, okay, well, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Especially at the beginning, we wonder, what's this doing anyway? Then we find ourselves radiating metta to everybody in front of our car as we're driving down the motorway. Or the chant, listening to the chant as it plays itself in our mind. It's just such a beautiful thing when metta begins to come together and become a stronger habit. That inclination becomes a stronger habit. Sayadaw spoke the other day about the purity of metta, the power and purity of the strong metta. And I don't want to say much today, but I do want to say what Sayadaw is referring to and explain a little bit about what he is referring to, as well as some of the other manifestations of metta. Because we define metta very simply as the wish for the welfare and benefit of living beings. And it manifests in our experience in a number of different ways. So if we think it should be one thing or another, this can be confusing. So I want to speak to the various manifestations of metta that we can experience. First, it can be a relational state, either a relationship with ourselves or with other beings that is friendly, kind, interested. It's an attitude of acceptance and well-wishing. And this can take the form of actual well-wishing. May you be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May my benefactor, my dear friend, whoever it is, may they be well, happy, and peaceful. Or it can just be an attitude. And we've spoken quite a lot about this, about the importance of this internally, that attitude of acceptance, and the power of it externally. So first, as a relational state, as something we can experience. One thing to say, though, to clarify, is that metta is not a feeling. It's not an emotional state. It's that well-wishing. And it can come with a feeling in the heart of warmth and open-heartedness, but not necessarily. So please don't confuse that physical experience for the metta itself, because that's not it. And particularly at the beginning of the practice, we can experience this quite strongly. Some of you have remarked, as you're practicing with a dear friend, this can be quite a strong emotional affective state. But as we deepen in the mountain, it just gets quiet. as Sayadaw said, and Marie also said, metta is cool and peaceful. Metta air conditioning, as Sayadaw says a lot. It's just a lack of ill will that we experience, along with that well-wishing. But our main experience is a lack of any kind of fire, any kind of burning or roughness in the mind. It's just cool, peaceful. And sometimes we think, oh, I must be doing it wrong. I don't feel anything. If you have that thought, it may just be because you're not used to the stillness of metta. So please don't worry. Because the presence or absence of that well-wishing doesn't actually have any correlation with what we physically feel. I wanted to make that very clear, because that can be confusing. So as a relational state. And then you may have noticed in our chant, the metta chant, the metta sutta chant, the Buddha speaks about, near the end, he says, sitting, standing, walking, lying down, one should maintain this reflection. This is said to be the divine abiding. Metta as a divine abiding, as a Brahmavihara, is this metta that is maintained, sitting, standing, walking, lying down. It is stable. And this comes together by itself. And we may experience it for a while and then it drops away. And we're back to our kind of habitual state of mind. But the more we practice metta bhavana, the more we cultivate this inclination, the more continuous it becomes. So that continuity as a Brahmavihara. Sustaining it. Sitting, standing, walking, lying down. You may also have heard of metta as a parami, a perfection. And Sayadaw used that word, perfection, the other day. And the paramis in this Theravada tradition are 10, and metta is one of the paramis. These qualities of heart and mind that are fully perfected in a Buddha. And something we can polish in our daily lives. In the Burmese tradition, people cultivate either metta or vipassana on informal retreat. And then for a certain amount of time every year, and then the Sayadaw says, now go home and polish your paramis. So we can take metta as a quality that we are polishing, we are perfecting in our daily life. By inclining in that direction in our daily life. Understanding that the full development, the full perfection of all the paramis only happens in a Buddha. So it's nothing we need to attain. But it's something to remember. And to take on the development of metta as a parami is quite a lovely thing. random acts of kindness all day long, you know? It's something we can do. And metta is a brahma-vihara, metta is a parami. There's a lot of overlap there. Regardless, though, of which of these aspects of metta we are developing or are experiencing, it helps to remember, this will sound really silly, but it helps to remember we're human beings. And what I mean when I say that is we live in this human realm, this complicated realm of relationship, this complicated place we call samsara, where all conditioned phenomena arise and pass away. And where imperfection is much more normal than perfection. Perfection is something we develop. We live our way into perfection. And the Buddha is said to have developed his paramis over many, 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 many countless lifetimes. So, in this messy place that we all live in, understanding that metta, what kind of metta we experience, is on some form, some kind of a continuum between no metta at all and the paramis of a Buddha. And we live in the middle there somewhere. And where that is will change moment to moment. So not worrying if your metta is not completely pure, or if you experience this kind of mixed state where you, yeah, there is metta, but also other stuff, and it's not completely pure. I had to chuckle. It was yesterday, somebody reported, say, you know, when I hear Sayadaw talking about pure metta, it just irritates me because that's not my experience at all. And I had to chuckle. It's like, yeah, not mine either, mostly. But to understand, we're in this middle ground somewhere. Because of the way metta bhavana works, because of the way this practice works, moment to moment to moment, we can incline more towards the development and purification of metta by feeding that each moment. So we might not like that place where we are on the continuum, but every moment of metta practice where we incline to metta, where we develop this habit, will incline us also further and further towards the perfection side of that continuum. And there's a steady but slow sometimes, but definitely a steady development. So we might go forward and fall back and go forward and fall back and go forward and fall back, but we never fall back as far as we would. There's a steady increase in purity, a steady increase in our ability to land in metta. So please don't worry when your practice goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. It does that. There's a lawfulness to this. It's in accord with the laws of nature. And sometimes when we open to a new place in the metta practice, a deeper place in the metta practice, that's when we also open to a deeper place in terms of the opposites of metta, a new place there as well. And so we can fall into this new state of, oh, that, I didn't know that was there. And if we steadily and patiently work with the heart and mind, with that attitude of metta, that allowing, that acceptance, when we keep feeding the metta, then that's when the purification happens. And we fall again into another new, deeper experience of metta, a more powerful experience of purity or continuity or concentration. And the practice goes on in that way. All we have to do is point ourselves in that direction and steadily keep walking. Yeah. I chuckle because it's hard to remember this sometimes. We want instant results, but there's no such thing as instant results in the practice. Results manifest over time. And changes occur in the background, sometimes without us knowing, as we've spoken of before. So just trusting the process. And knowing that the more we cultivate metta, the stronger that habit will be, the more purification will happen. The more developed that parami of metta will be, the more we abide with metta all the time, and it becomes a brahmavihara, a divine abiding. So that's all I want to say today. And going today into the practice for all beings. Today we will cultivate metta for all beings in directions. So there are two ways of doing this. Either like a lighthouse, as I said the other day, just going from north, northeast, east, southeast, is just a, you know, around the compass rose in that way, and then above and below. Or as it's spoken of in our chant, north, south, east, west, and then the intermediate directions. We're a little limited to time, so I'll do the latter, but just to the four main cardinal directions and then above and below. But please experiment with this because it's enjoyable no matter which way you do it, but some people prefer one over the other, and you'll find your own way into this. And one thing to mention is if you are not a person who relates to the compass headings, north, south, east, west, you can orient yourself to in front of you, behind you, to your right, to your left, above and below. And just beaming metta in those directions. I will use north, south, east, west. And if you feel more comfortable, you can translate that into in front, behind, to your right, to your left. And turning the mind's eye in that direction, of course, not the body, but just turning the attention in that direction and letting the metta just shine out like a cone of light, beginning in the heart and just going out into space, shining on all beings in that kind of wedge of life in front of you, behind you, to your right, to your left, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, and then, of course, above and below. So that's what we'll be doing today, just to give you a heads up. So please find a comfortable position, sitting, like down, however it's best for you. Closing your eyes. Taking a couple of deep breaths, orienting yourself in space where you are. If you relate to compass headings, take a moment to remember where north is. Any other compass directions. Connecting with metta for yourself. Taking a moment to do that. Using the phrase or phrase you've been using, or a phrase that feels particularly relevant for you today. Recognizing, just as I want to be happy, so all beings want to be happy, healthy, at ease, living peacefully. And with that empathetic bridge, beginning to radiate loving kindness to the north, to the northern direction. May all beings in the north, out into the vastness of space, be well, happy, and peaceful. Using your own phrase. Radiating kindness and well-wishing in that direction. And now, beginning to radiate metta for all beings in the southern direction, all beings in the south, whatever living beings there may be to the south, may they be well, happy, and peaceful, safe and protected from harm. And now, radiating metta for all beings in the east, beings near to you who you can imagine. And further away, further and further out into space, may all beings in the east, near and far, known and unknown, may they be happy, peaceful, and at ease. now all beings in the West. May they be well, happy, peaceful, and at ease. Whatever living beings there may be in the West, close and dear, or much further away, shining momentum in that direction. And now, taking all beings above you, and where you are on the planet, we'll make this different, but above where you are in this moment, either above you in the same building, or in nearby buildings, above you in trees, or in the air, in space, in airplanes, helicopters, space stations, all beings above, yeah, above us, in the upwards direction, insects, birds, human beings, all beings known and unknown up there. May they be well, happy, and peaceful. And now all beings below you, living in the same building, or in the earth below the building where you live, ants and worms and termites and whatever beings live underneath you of any sort. And through the earth, out the other side and into space, may all beings below us being well, happy, peaceful, safe, and protected from harm. And now taking all beings everywhere in all directions, without exception, above, below, and all around, near and far, known and unknown. May all beings everywhere be well, happy, and peaceful, safe and protected from harm. Letting the metta shine as a great shining sphere in the heart, going in all directions. Resting back in that. Simply inclining moment to moment to moment. though, in your formal sitting meditation. Using the directions as a support for expanding to all beings, either in this way or kind of going around the compass rose. If you take the four cardinal directions and the intermediate directions and above and below, and you give 5 minutes to each one, that's a 50-minute sitting, almost an hour. So you can either go around the block, or north, south, east, west, northeast, southwest, northwest, southeast. I actually prefer going around the clock because I don't have to think about it. Just north, northeast, east, etc. And then not forgetting all beings everywhere. So when you get all the way through that sequence, spend some time with all beings. In the walking practice, this is a little harder because we're moving the body in space. And it can get quite confusing. Okay, north, I'll go back and forth 10 times in the north, and we like, where is north, or in front of me, you know. And so don't worry too much about doing that. You can radiate metta in front of you, and as you turn the body, understanding that the body, you know, you're turning through all those directions as you turn. But not forgetting above and below. So you can radiate metta in the formal walking, and if you go around a block, for example, in your general activities, if you live in a city and you walk around a square city block, radiating metta in front of you, you'll have gone through all the directions at some point. If you do a loop, but not to forget above and below. So spending some time with both of those. And then all beings everywhere. So experimenting with this, playing with it. Using the directions to give the mind a framework, a scaffolding to expand to all beings. And particularly in the general activities, that free flow, metta. So whatever beings you encounter in that particular direction where you happen to be pointed, may they be happy. So thank you for your practice, everybody. Enjoy experimenting with this. It's really a lot of fun, actually. And I'll turn you over now to Aria for the questions and the chanting.
Thank you, dear sister. And yes, now please come up with your questions and I'll try to answer them. Yes, Rudolf?
So, I got one. So, I was, during this practice, I was first, I think I like to work with imaginations. So, the first thing was when I'm sending out the metta, right, I did it as a thought. Then I felt, okay, the brain is getting warmer. And then I said, oh, okay, brain, intellectual, so go to the heart. And then I imagine, it's like a light, no? A clear light sending out. And then the heart got warmer, but I was in the phase that it's directed. Hey, we are like a beamer or flashlight or something like that. Then I got more the feeling, oh, it's the intention to sending it out. And I say, okay, sending it out, no? Then it's something active. But in the later end, then I said, no, I don't have to send it out. It's already there. No? So it's something like opening the window and breathing. No? And then the wish was just all beings in that world should breathe in the metta. And then I got feedback, okay, I'm getting calmer just sending out this wish or thinking this wish. So this is what I wanted to discuss, how to deal with that.
Yes, thank you, Rodolphe, for this. That's good description. As you say, you know, when you start doing it, cultivating the metta, sending it out, and of course, you know, this comes along with activity. I send it out, and then other beings or a particular person. And first you said, you know, like, the brain gets warm. It's mental activity, yes. Although, you know, the brain is not the mind. Well, the brain is just a physical, you know, center of synapses and nerve cells. But of course, there is activity when you think and send out. And then, as you said, you know, trying more to get connect with, you know, the quality of metta, the feeling, and then it's in the heart, and you felt some warmth, and yeah, this light. First, still sending out the light, but then you realize, oh well, no, I don't need to send it out. It's there. You know, when this genuine, heartfelt wish is there in your heart, in your mind, it naturally radiates out. You don't have to do anything. And this is when you say, you know, then you got calmer, then you got more peaceful. So, you know, you describe very beautifully how many metta meditators experience or in their practice go through these different stages. So you use this image of, yeah, the window is open, and so the light, the metta, just goes out by itself. You don't have to do it. What you do is to connect with it in your heart and mind. And the stronger it is, the stronger the light shines, gets far away. And then people, you know, experience it, kind of get it. Yes, so thank you for describing this. And maybe just as a little addition, you know, this is also what Ayavi Oranyani said at the beginning, that, you know, after this phase of feeling the warmth in the heart, in the body, actually then when it moves to a more quiet, peaceful place, it's more the coolness. You know, because then mind and heart are free from the fires of agitation and aversion and whatever. And when a fire cools down, yeah, it becomes cool and peaceful. Then we have Martin with a question, please.
Sorry, it is not a question. It is a very short sharing after this practice. I realize that always it is my best, my preferred category when I wish well-being for all beings, because I don't feel any emotion. There is no attachment, no aversion. I feel it as a pure wish, and it's really for me the the categories that I prefer to irradiate metta. So, because only a little short sharing. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin, for this sharing. Somebody else with a question?
Yes. Iris speaking.
Yes, please, Iris.
For me, it is always what you say, the directions, or is everything is stress for my mind. And for me, is the best way to practice to say it is for all beings in all worlds, and I. Sometimes I have the inner picture of the earth in the room of the stars. Basta, it's enough. And then some single beings can arise in my mind. Sometimes mass murders or war makers, and I think yes, okay. I think they want to be happy. Okay. May they be happy, or animals, or sometimes popping up some beings. But in the general, I'm stressed to have an imagination. And perhaps you have a comment on this. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Iris. You know, when we cultivate metta, this kind, friendly, benevolent heart, what we want not to have is stress. Because feeling stressed, how can you access this open-heartedness and friendliness? So this means that, you know, because this practice, there is a general outline how we can practice, but then people are different with their stories and inclinations and tendencies. And so when you say for you the least stressful is just to do general metta for all beings in all the worlds, may they be happy and well, please do that a lot. You know, do not feel obliged to have to follow our instructions. So, you know, for you, the individual instruction would be, yes, take this approach, because this is where, that's your door into cultivating the metta. And use that. That's good. Is there another question?
I wanted to ask one thing.
Yes, please, Federica.
In this retreat particularly, there is a problem with the sleepiness, because as the concentration increases, as the mind becomes more stable in the metta, then the crazes stop itself and the mind as well. And so there is this kind of, I don't know if it is sleepiness, but there is this kind of flatness of the mind that arises itself, and it is very difficult to detect. And so I just wanted to ask how to face this.
Yes, thank you, Federica. It's good that you bring this up. Other meditators might have to deal with the same situation. As you say, when concentration deepens and the metta is present, is strong, and so with the deep concentration, the mind becomes very calm and peaceful, and the metta is still there. But then, in this calmness, and because it's so nice, it's so pleasurable, the mind can just kind of get lost in enjoying this calm, peaceful state. And so there is less effort, you know, right effort, to keep the metta going. And so, you know, when you notice the mind gets more deeply concentrated, the metta is there, very subtle, so then, you know, you might have already reduced the words, the phrase, or even stopped saying the phrase, but then it's necessary that you kind of keep your mind alert, or keep up the interest in, you know, the radiation of metta, or the in the dwelling of metta. And to support this alertness, it can be helpful to once in a while throw in a word, you know, silently say it in your mind. Happy. Happy. So that the mind does not slip into this inert or sleepy state.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your different questions and sharings. And now I would like to go on to the metta chants. I want to begin on page 3 with the four boundless states and do the Pali version. And now, as we are quite familiar with it, we can go at a good speed. And I can tell you, this will dispel any sleepiness, if there is. We'll begin. Metta sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabata tataya sabah vantang lokang metta sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appama Manena, averena, abhyapacena, paritva viharati karuna sahagatena cetasa, ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang, tata tatiyang, tata chatutang, iti udamada tiriyang, sabati sabah, tataya sabah, vantang lokang karuna sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati mudita sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabah tataya sabah vantang lokang mudita sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati upekha sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabah tataya sabah vantang lokang upekha sahagatena cetasa vipulena Mahakatena apamanena averena apyapachena paritva viharate. And let's go to page 6. And first, at the top of the page, the Frida, the song, or the canon, the chant in Swiss German. You can join as a second group, or the two of you, even as a third group. So we begin. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. And we will end with the chant in the middle of this page. Metta, loka samastha sukhino bhavantu. This chant in Sanskrit is the very general metta wish. Loka samastha sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Yes, may all the beings in all the worlds be happy. May they be free from suffering. May they be safe and protected. May they live at ease and in peace. And today is the 28th of January. In 2 days, on the 30th, will be the last day of our online retreat, the first one. And so on the last day, there will be only this online session you know, whatever time it is for you, this 1.5 hours. There will be some sharing, we will give some guidance or advice for practice in day-to-day life, ongoing practice. So just that you know how to organize your day. And maybe, you know, then there are some more questions for tomorrow.
Vicky, I've got a question.
Yes?
I'm a little confused about when it's ending. Or the last session. Today's, what did you say? I've lost track of the time. Today's Saturday here.
Yes, today is Saturday. So it's on Monday. On Monday, and it will finish at this time, wherever you are. Because now,
on Monday,
this is, you know, the end of our 1.5 hours of online session.
Right.
So this will be the end.
On Monday.
On Monday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today, there are interview groups. Group E with Aya Viranyani in 5 minutes. And group B with me in 15 minutes. See you right now or see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.